Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Through your financial and prayerful assistance, you've kept us on the air for over 40 years now, and we just ask you to continue to do what you can, especially in these difficult times, because it's only through your support that we're able to bring you great shows like today's. We have a great guest for you today, but before we get to Peter, just a couple of brief announcements. First, coming up on Sunday, May the 1st, will be our annual Wake Up America dinner that takes place at the Malvern Retreat House. And again, that's going to be on Sunday, May the 1st, from 1:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon. Kathleen McCarthy will be on hand to be our keynote speaker. All the broadcasters are usually there. Our engineers, volunteers will all be on hand. It's a great opportunity to come out and mingle with the folks that are the backbone of this great Catholic radio ministry. We also have a silent auction, which helps us to raise much-needed funds to stay on the air. And this year we'll be adding drawings for raffle prizes. And we've also put out requests for sponsors. If you need information about the event, you can go to our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's two links there. One for the flyer that we would normally put together with information about the dinner, as well as how to purchase tickets. And then there's a second link there if you are interested in sponsoring the event. There's three different levels of sponsorship, and anything that you can do to help us in that area is certainly appreciated. Again, costs continue to rise, as we all know. We're all feeling it in our wallets, but whatever you can do to help us out is certainly appreciated. Also, circle October the 10th on your calendar. That's a Monday, and we will be returning to Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania, for our annual golf outing. It's always a great day. We have so many folks that sponsor priests to come out and play golf, so it's a wonderful day to see all the priests that are able to come out and join us and whack the little white ball around. And always a great day, lunch, dinner, another silent auction. But for now, just circle the date. As we get more details, we'll roll them out to you as they become available to us. So without any further ado, I want to welcome to the show today Mr. Peter DePalma. I've known of Peter for a few months now, and we actually connected on the phone this morning for a little conversation and preparing for today's show. And how I got to know Peter was through a mutual friend, Maureen, and last August I was explaining to Peter this morning that I had become aware of Louisa Picaretta and the Gift of the Divine Will last August, and it just got hit in a number of different ways with that name. And then all of a sudden Daniel O'Connor's name crossed my path because he was going to be speaking in Wildwood at the annual Charismatic Conference that's held down there each year. And next thing you know, I had this real interest in this gift of the divine will. And Peter runs a great ministry. He's kind of local to us. He's in Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania, where he runs Mary's Hill, and just runs a number of Zoom calls, podcasts. He's on Radio Maria on Thursdays and doing whatever he can to spread the word about Louisa Picaretta and the Gift of the Divine Will. Welcome to the show, Peter. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Ken. It's a pleasure. It's really all mine. You know, it's interesting. Myriad of different emotions. You know, when I first received your invite, I'm not sure if you know, but I think you typed the wrong time. You said 4 p.m., so I said, I better do some homework, and let me take a look. So I went to inhissign.com, and I looked at the 4 o'clock program. I said, Holy moly, it's Saints and Sinners. I bet this guy Ken, I bet he's inviting me to represent the Sinners. And right away, I'm thinking about this like Family Feud, you know, the Saints on one side, the Sinners represented by Peter DePalma, which, again, you wouldn't be far off because I know a lot about sin.
Yeah.
The 5 o'clock hour with the title of What the World Needs Now. And I couldn't help but to think about, well, I think that's Dionne Warwick in the 60s. She sang that song. Mm. That's exactly what the world needs right now. And the gift of living in the divine will is, in essence, the reciprocal of God's love. He gives it to us, and he expects us to give it back to him. So it's a pleasure to be here, Ken, and thank you for all you do.
Now, we're trying, pal. We're trying. And exactly as you say, the show back from when Kathleen did it for years was What the World Needs Now. And I've come to believe that the world needs the gift of the divine will more than anything right now. And it is the for our times. And so, as I mentioned to you in our conversation earlier, I've had Daniel O'Connor on a couple of times, and he approaches it through his writing to make people aware of this gift of Louisa Picaretta. And he talks about the prophecy and the various prophets over the years that have talked about these times and about the gift of the divine will. But we didn't always get in those conversations, get into the details of what the messages actually are and how to incorporate it into somebody's life. And as I mentioned to you earlier, if you go out and do a search on the web and put in Gift of the Divine Will or Louisa Picaretta, there are a myriad of websites that come back, and there's so much material out there. And for somebody that hears about it and has an interest, at least for me, it was kind of overwhelming. And I'll be honest, I started out with Frances Hogan's website, and I started to listen to a couple of her audio files, and then I realized that this was going to be like 400 hours. That when I'm done, I should get a doctorate degree or something if I'm going to spend this much time. And granted, she goes through it thoroughly. But I, as a husband and father, grandfather, working full-time in ministry, I just did not have the time to go through all that. And I'm at the same time, I got a friend in Rio Vista, California, who stumbled upon Louisa around the same time I did, and he shared it in a meeting. And I was like, we talked afterwards, like, how did you hear about her? And he's saying, well, how'd you hear about her? And he's retired, older guy, and he actually got through the Frances Hogan stuff. And I gave him a lot of credit. I thought where we would start with this first and foremost is, how did you get involved in the ministry that you have, Mary's Hill? And as you said, it's a cloister for people interested in the gift of the divine will. People will come up to Kunkeltown and... although, as you mentioned, that not since COVID, but I guess prior to that, people could come and stay. People have been sent there. People asked to come there. But how was it that you came to be aware of Louisa and really get involved in all this work?
Well, you know, Ken, when we first moved from New Jersey to Kunkeltown, we knew things were going to ramp up because they just seemed to start on their own. We came here, and all of a sudden we were receiving. I mean, we were active, but we weren't that active. We didn't have an apostolate. We never really joined a prayer group, although we participated in many, especially the Marian Movement of Priests was one of the strongest ones that we went through. So we moved out here, and all of a sudden we're getting phone calls from priests and sisters and people from all over the country, really the tri-state area to begin with. They want to visit Mary's Hill. I said, well, there's really nothing here. I mean, I've got a simple ranch house. See, we're on 6 acres, and we're working on it, but this is not really like a public place. So anyway, we had, through the first 2 years or so, we constructed a chapel in our basement because it was an unfinished basement. Beautiful chapel. Our spiritual director helped us out with a couple of volunteers that helped us do that. And then priests started coming and saying Mass. So again, we sent our letter to the local bishop and said, this is what we're doing. We'll give you the names of the priests if you want it. So we didn't get a response, but my local pastor says, well, you know, no news is good news, so just continue to move on. And we did that. And we had plenty of guests, a lot of local guests. We had Father Nicholas Gruner was here. We had Michael Voris, which visited us. And again, as I mentioned, we had traditional values, we had charismatic values, we saw the full gamut of our faith, which is, I think, we're called to be both. Mm. And then it was on October 13th of 2014 when one of the visitors, Deacon John Thompson, who, by the way, is the father of Maureen that you spoke about earlier.
Right, exactly.
At the end of our day, he basically sat there and said, hey, has anyone ever heard of Louisa Picaretta? And there was about maybe 10 or 12 people around the table. And we said, no, Deacon. And he didn't badger it. That's what I love. And I think that's the approach with the divine will. He knew a lot about it. And he could have just stayed there and kept giving us information and giving us information. But it's like sort of, you know, like if you have a 12-ounce glass and you fill it to the brim, if you add more fluid, it's only going to spill out. It's not going to be able to be retained. So he just gave us the name. He told us a little bit about her. And it was enough to sort of perk us to, when everyone left, my wife and I went on our respective computers and started doing some homework. I kid you not, Ken, within 10 minutes, we looked at each other and said, this is it.
Mm.
This is everything God has been looking for us to find and everything we've been looking to find on our own. And it just came to us, the Deacon John. It's
yeah.
beautiful. And that's when everything began. And since then, of course, we've had Father Robert Young, we've had Father John Olin Brown, we've had Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi, Father Elijah, that have come here, you know, all divine will oriented, and helped to bring us further on our journey. It was just beautiful. Again, I think we learned to, as Father Celso says, to get out of God's way. We give our fiat, even though it may not be a full-fledged fiat, because again, you need to know what you're saying yes to. We knew enough to say, well, I want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of let God take over, and He's going to introduce us to the people we need to meet, and He's going to enable us to play our days out the way He wants us to do it, not the way we. I think once we gain to that realization, again, it's just buckle your seatbelts because the ride gets very, very fast sometimes.
Amen. And you know, I told you, you know, my own little story with Maureen, and I had somebody who I went to give one of Daniel O'Connor's books to, a friend of mine, and she's like, you're into the divine will, get in touch with Maureen. And I got in touch with Maureen, and she told me about her, you know, the cenacle that they have each morning, Monday through Friday, from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., and it was like, I got enough trouble getting out of bed at 7 o'clock, let alone now having to get up at 5 because I got a couple old Labrador retrievers that need to be fed and go out and everything, and I got to get them settled if I'm going to join this thing. And I put it off, and Maureen sent me an email or a text message a month later, and, you know, God's putting your name on my heart, Kenny. I'm just reaching out, no pressure, but if you want to join us, we're still here. Here's where we meet. And I did it the next morning. I set the alarm for 5 and got up the next morning, and an hour and a half each morning, Monday through Friday, we're reading through the Book of Heaven. And the beauty of it is, you know, her father, Deacon John, is on every morning, and he certainly doesn't monopolize the meeting, but when he jumps in and, you know, he has references to Father Iannuzzi's doctoral thesis or other references that'll make that help really bring Louisa's writings alive and how we can implement it in our life. And that's where I was kind of hoping to get to in over the course of this show is if people are, you know, begin to learn about this gift and start to read through the Book of Heaven, you know, what is it that Jesus is calling us to do as part of this gift in order to implement it in our lives? And I know I'm not the only one that has these questions, and I'm going to throw out the phone numbers in case there's anybody listening that wants to give a call. Maybe you've heard about it and have questions yourself. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. So somebody hears about the Book of Heaven, Peter, or Louisa Picaretta, and they want to get involved like I did, but are overwhelmed. Where would you recommend that people begin?
Well, the beautiful thing about this gift, Ken, is, well, again, to recognize this gift for what it is, or at least to begin to, it takes one of two ways. It has to be a mystical gift that God has given to us. And if we remember what St. John of the Cross teaches us, and also in the Articles of Vatican II, he teaches us that mystical gifts are not given equally, not like our baptismal gifts. They're given to whomever God pleases, when he pleases, to whatever extent he does. So we can understand or recognize this gift in one of two ways. Either God has planted it in us, he's disposed us to see this little bit of a glimmer of light when we hear Louisa Picaretta's name or the gift of living in divine will, or we're introduced to it by someone, like, for example, you were, and like I was. And then again, depending on our disposition, it depends on our desire. So that's where it starts. But again, how do you desire something that you have little or no knowledge of? It's virtually impossible. So again, we rely on God's little bit of light, that little bit of glimmer of light. We know there's something here. We need to know more about it. So now we need to take it to the next step. So this is really four steps in the divine will. Number one is desire. That admits us to this gift. It begins the process or the journey. The second is knowledge. And knowledge of it advances us, and besides advancing us, it again energizes our desire. Third is virtues. The virtues anchor us in this gift, and again in our faith. And then number four, life. That's what actualizes it. That's the ultimate, when we actually apply what we learn. Not like the Pharisees, who knew it, but just didn't have it in their heart. It must resonate. It's a transmutation. God is changing us, not from the outside in, but from the inside out, because remember, the body expresses the soul. So what better way to make the body do the work of our blessed Lord than to change the interior? That's what's happening. So the first thing that I say is, if you have that little bit of desire, you want to know more about the divine will. There's one thing that's worked for my wife and I, and for probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people. On our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, there is a video on the front page of Father Joseph Iannuzzi, a retreat that he gave in the Philippines in 2013. It's about an hour and 20 minutes long, but I assure you, if you think you've been touched by this divine will and that this is your calling, if you watch that video, you'll either support what you think, or you'll be able to walk away and say, no, it's not for me. And it may not be. Jesus says this gift is for very few in the beginning. And not that those who are going to want to go full throttle into it are special. In fact, on the contrary, they're probably not. He looks for not for the weak, but he looks for the empty. He looks for the humble. He looks for the one searching, not the one that says, I know it. And Father Iannuzzi's video, from a Catholic perspective, is able to explain the gift in detail from a Catholic perspective. He's a theologian. He was also he's also an exorcist priest. Again, you mentioned his dissertation, which took him 14 years. He took all of Luis's writings. He translated them from Italian to English. Then, because he used it for his thesis, he set out to prove that everything that Luisa penned, remember, Luisa didn't write this. Yeah, she transcribed it, but Jesus dictated it. And that's what's so special. You know, the Gospels were influenced by Christ. The Book of Heaven, which Jesus named the writings, is written by Jesus. So it's a huge delineation there. So I highly recommend watch that video. He takes us through the whole gamut of what the divine will is. He grounds it into our faith, whether it be the patristics, the doctors, the magisterium, our catechism. He shows, he substantiates, and he successfully defended his thesis, and it received high accolades. So in essence, we've got full approval for what he did. And the beautiful thing also is he gives a summary. He gives a summary and then drives us into the volumes where we can corroborate what Jesus said, which is the most important. And I think the one thing you mentioned too, Ken, is about when you first were introduced, you know, your 36 volumes or Francis Hogan's, you know, 300 hours. You know, how do you have time for all this? Well, the answer simply is God gives us an opportunity to go through multiple doors, multiple windows. And if they're not accessible to us through our Blessed Lady, she's going to loosen a plank and we can crawl in that way. All we need to do is get our foot in the door. And that's the desire that admits us to the gift. Once we do that, in essence, God does the rest of the work. Perfect example, our Blessed Mother. And she gave her fiat mihi. She said, let it be done. God did all the work. But she had to give her fiat. God wants to know that we want this. He's not going. He's a gentle God. He doesn't want to force himself. He wants only to give this gift to those who want it. And what is the gift in simple? It's bringing us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God. The pre-lapsarian era of Adam. To go back to the way Adam was the split second before he sinned. Begin perfect union, perfect conformity, perfect love with our blessed Lord. Is it that hard to believe that through all life has given us and all the world has been through, that God finally wants to take us back? If you think about it, no. This is what God intended from the beginning.
Now, and,
so
and
blessed.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I thought about it when I, through Daniel O'Connor's writings and the and this idea that it's the fulfillment of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. And I even just wrote an article for our Calyx Society. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we even say, thy will be done, and then we pause. And then we say, on earth as it is in heaven. And it's one sentence, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when I started looking at it that way, and after reading Daniel's works and thinking about, you know, this being a prophecy from Jesus himself, that his will be done on earth. And I think so many of us say, oh, you know, it's nice to have it in the prayer, but, you know, it's really going to be in heaven when we get to experience that. And that's not the case at all, right? God wants it here, maybe not right now, but maybe, like we said this morning, maybe not so far in the distant future.
Well, it's available. You know, it's available now. I can say that, and I'm saying that because Jesus says that. Since Louisa, who is the one who God chose throughout all of creation to be the one to help usher this into us with original sin. See, he says if it came through our Blessed Mother, people may doubt. Well, I'm not the Blessed Mother. I can't be her. I wasn't born. I wasn't conceived without original sin. How can I do this? It would plant some doubt in our minds. But this is somebody from our own, in essence, stock. And that's who Louise is. And she was simple. She was the simplest. And again, we talked about how God chooses the simple. She has, I think, less than a first grade education. So how can she write this? Of course, we know she couldn't have written it on her own. It has to be divinely inspired. And the beautiful thing also about this is, again, these volumes, the first 19 volumes before he passed away, was given the imprimatur and the Nihil Obstat. The Nihil Obstat church approval was given by a saint, Saint Hannibal de Francia, who was also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, the seer of Our Lady of La Salette, a fully approved apparition of our church. So here you have this saint that gave the Nihil Obstat to these writings. I don't know how many other works of faith have the stamp of approval of a saint. It's almost too good to be true, so you have to really sit down and say, wow, God does love us that much.
Yeah, and it's moved now, and so I know that Father Iannuzzi will, I don't know if Father Iannuzzi has BDV after his name, but Father Celso certainly does, and Benedicta Divina Voluntas, I think it is, but anyway, mm-hmm. Benedictine of the Divine Will, and then there's also the Third Order, Benedictine Oblates of the Divine Will for us lay people. Mm-hmm. But how big are these organizations, not the word, but these ministries now? So are there many priests now that are taking the BDV? Is it an actual... And approved not isn't the right word, but like you have, you know, your Jesuits and your Dominicans. Is this a recognized order now in the church?
Yes, it's recognized by the church. In fact, one of the cardinals that gave its approval was Cardinal Burke, a very conservative cardinal. The one who heads the Oblates of the Divine Will. It's the Third Order of the Divine Will, in essence. And why Saint Benedict? Well, Saint Benedict was the one that created the first sort of Third Order. And the Divine Will perhaps will be the last. So the first and the last combined. And interesting point about Mother Gabriel Marie, who is a head of the Oblates, she's the former Sister Catherine of EWTN. She was the sort of right-hand sister and the secretary to Mother Angelica for over 35 years. In fact, you'll probably see, every time you see Mother Angelica with a sister next to her, it's probably going to be Mother Gabriel Marie. Well, she introduced the Divine Will to Mother Angelica at EWTN, and she said, fine, you can read that. But then as Mother Angelica became sick, they sent Father Mitch Paco out to go to a Divine Will meeting somewhere in Florida. And when he came back, unfortunately, some of the things that he heard there were not accurate, were a little bit off the tracks. And he came back to Mother Angelica and said, yeah, I don't think we should go in this direction. There seems to be some very big errors. So there are going to be some discrepancies. There are going to be some bad translations out there. That's why there are some good ones. We're waiting for the actual critical edition to come out from the Vatican. That hopefully will come out soon. The typical edition, which is very important, did come out, I think, about 18 months ago. And that was basically taking all of Luisa's writings, all the translations, all of the the verbiage, the slang, you know, the Puglian dialect, going through all that to make sure that it's all sound and it's all Catholic. And that typical edition was approved and issued by the Vatican. So that's good news. Right now they're working on some just clarifications. They're just working on how do we present this, because it's so beyond what we've already learned and what's available to us at this time. It goes way beyond the saints, which is, again, hard to fathom, because I know growing up I was always taught, you know, you want to be a saint, that's the best you can strive for. Well, God wants us actually to possess him, if that makes any sense. And that's what Adam did. They were totally fused. So we have to be careful. Now, on our website, Father Iannuzzi conducted an audit, and he says that it's about 90% accurate with the translation. Again, sometimes the translation may be a word that's not going to be very important, but there may be some critical words in some translations that, instead of saying does, it may say does not, and that can make a whole world of difference. So we have to be careful until that critical edition is released, and that's why we're always recommending people use Father Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation, because that has received church approval.
Very good.
It's available. It's available online at Father Iannuzzi's website. I think it's livingintheDivineWill.org, or you can just reach out to us. And the beautiful thing there is, if you don't have the resources to buy the book, I mean, the book is nominally priced, I think, just for the amount that Father needs to recoup in order to print more. I think it's $35 or so. But if you're in a situation where that's an issue, send an email to us here at Mary's Hill at maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org, and we'll get you a copy for free. If you're clergy or religious, you're guaranteed a copy for free. Just send us an email.
Very good. And I actually got my copy from Father Iannuzzi's website. And like you said, it's thick, but it's spot on, and it has helped immensely. We're already at the bottom of the hour, Peter, so we're going to go ahead and we're just going to take a short break and have an opportunity to wet your whistle. For our listeners, if you want to call, if you have questions, comments, you can reach us at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. It'd be great to hear from one of our ladies from the Cenacle each morning. So give us a call. For the rest, don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. We could not carry on without you, so we certainly appreciate every little thing you do to help us, both your financial and prayerful support that has kept us on the air for over 40 years now. Our guest today is Peter DePalma from Mary's Hill and up in Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania. And we've been talking about the gift of the divine will, and the gift that was given to us from directly from Jesus through Luisa Picaretta, and the Book of Heaven, and trying to figure out how to navigate through the wealth of material that's available. And I know, Peter, you've been at this for a while. I know you have regular Zoom sessions now with Father Celso. I believe they're on Tuesdays. That you have your show on Radio Maria on Thursdays with the sisters from Italy. And there's opportunities. I know Father Iannuzzi has been on the last few Sundays that I've been aware of. I'm not sure if that's been going on for a long time or will continue for a long time. But if people wanted to learn more about how to participate in these things and get more information, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can go to the website, like I mentioned, queenofthedivinewill.org. Here you can just simply send us an email to maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. Yeah, you mentioned about that. We've got Monday evening Seneca with Father Celso, Tuesday morning Seneca with Father Celso, Wednesday's a free day, we have to catch up. Thursday we have Radio Maria with Mother Gabriel. Friday we have an e-book series taking Father Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation, methodically going through it. Second Saturday of the month, we have an all-day Divine Will Day of Recollection with Father Celso. And then on Sunday, we've got Mother Gabriel twice a month and Father Iannuzzi twice a month. So we've got as much as we can probably handle at this time. But yeah, God keeps extending and increasing our capacity to do more, because we have to. You know, I can't help but to think, you know, through the mystics, you know, the souls in purgatory have spoken. And I don't want to use the word complaint, but I know that the souls in purgatory, if they had one thing that they could have done better, it is that they would have made better use of the time while they were on Earth. And I think that's what we can do. You mentioned, you know, you've got other obligations, father, you know, husband. We have to balance our day, and we can't increase the number of hours to 25, but what we can do is we can start chipping away at the frivolous things we do. Maybe cut out some of that TV or that newspaper or something that's not productive, and we can make time for the divine will. And before you know it, remember we talked about that gerbil wheel, that reciprocity of desire, knowledge increases desire. It keeps going back and forth, and before you know it, all you want to do, really, is journey in the divine will. And that means through our Holy Mother Church. It makes us better Catholics all around. And so that's a clear sign that this gift is from God. And never, we can never forget our Blessed Mother. I mean, our saints in the past have given us so much information. I mean, I can't help but to think about St. Louis de Montfort. He said, quote, Mary will consequently produce the marvels which will be seen in the latter times, the times now. He says the formation and education of the great saints who will come at the end of the world are reserved to her. End quote. So God has given the task to Mary to mark her children. We've heard that phrase through other mystics. To gather the children of the divine will. And where is she bringing them? Right to the bosom of her son. Mary is in charge of this divine will. That's why Jesus gave her the name Queen of the Divine Will.
Yeah, if my good friend Father McKay's listening, he says it all the time, and he's going to holler at me tomorrow because I can't recall the saint that said it, but it was, you know, what are you doing? How are you spending your time? And that's what we're going to be called to task for when we meet Jesus face to face. And like you said, I can't add any more hours in the day, but there's certainly ways to find time in order to do those things that God's calling you to. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about in the first segment about doors and windows being opened and planks being torn off in order to make time or space for whatever it is that God wants us to do. And I'm a firm believer in that when things have been asked of me, and whether it came through prayer or somebody else's mouth and sounded like it was something that God wanted me to do, I was usually the one that would put up all the barriers.
Exactly, you know, we all do.
I can't do that. And my mother always said can't means won't. And so we put up the barriers. And even when we put them up, and the way I usually discern whether or not God really wants me to do something is all the barriers melt away. And so if you're being called to this, or you feel like you've been being called to the gift of the divine will, and you're putting up the barriers, if God wants you to do it, he'll find a way to bring those barriers down. And sometimes it can be people in our life that may not understand or don't know why you want to make this a priority, or even something else faith-related. You know, why all of a sudden has this become a priority? And it's amazing because I've watched it with my own wife, and she was usually, I would make her the barrier just because I didn't want to do something. And then she was like, why aren't you going to do that? Or don't you think you should do that? And it's like, wait a minute, I didn't think you'd want me to do it. So.
Well, that's why, Ken, that's why desire is so important, because if we desire this, God is going to find a way for us to do it. He's going to use his permissible will, which is a total mystery to us. And I can tell you just personally, two of the permissible wills that God allowed to happen in my life, which from the onset or from the outside looks very negative, but actually were the two probably greatest blessings that I received. Quickly, number one, I was errantly laid off from my job. I think I mentioned this to you. There were two Peters. The company was taken over. One Peter had no work. I had a lot of work. And then they laid me off thinking I was the other Peter. And so that gave me time for the divine will. Number two, again, how do I balance? I'm a grandfather. I'm a father. I'm a husband. Well, yeah, I'm a half a husband. I'm trying. I'm trying to get through this. And my desire is hunger for it. So what happens? My middle daughter's wedding is coming, and the church is a mile from my house. So we have a cenacle. I didn't cancel it. The priest is here, and my my family physician is here. So she says, oh, the wife of my family physician says, oh, Peter, you look so nice in your tuxedo. Here, take our Mini Cooper. We just bought it. You take it to the wedding. I said, well, it's raining out. I'm going to take my pickup truck. No, take it. So anyway, I took the car. I took a bend down, going to the, mind you, it's only a mile from the house. And I hydroplaned, and I hit a tree. And I broke every rib. I fractured my hip. But most importantly, again, I don't know if Maureen was on. She can tell me because she's a nurse. But the muscle that was holding my aorta was dangling. If that had snapped off, I would have bled out in literally 2 minutes. There's nothing they can do. So here I am in this Mini Cooper trying to stand up. I realize something's wrong. I'm pleading with the paramedics. You got to let me go to the wedding. I'll sign a waiver. If they had listened to me, I would have died sometime during the day. Maybe during the father-daughter dance, which would have been a tragedy. What happened, though, in the hospital and rehabilitating for 7 months, I got to read, I got to study, I got to thank God, I got to advance, and my desire became overwhelming. So again, whenever we have something that looks like it's a problem in our lives, it's like being on a bumper car. The greatest thing you can do on a bumper car is hit something, because what does it do? It redirects you somewhere else. And that's what God's doing to each and every one of us.
That's right. It you know, we can look at life and look at problems and get down over them, where we can look at problems and look at them as opportunities. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier today, you know, my own ministry and dealing with people and working with people that struggle with addiction like I did. And I heard a great line years and years ago that it's a disease of perception. You know, the addict and a so-called normal person can look at, you know, look at the exact same situation and come away with completely opposite thoughts about it. You know, back in the day, I would go to a crowded room, and I would swear that the people on the complete opposite side of the room were having a conversation and they were talking about me. Or I can look at a problem and get so overwhelmed that there's no way out of it. Or I can look at it as an opportunity to pray, to talk to people that may have more knowledge about the situation than I do, and actually ask for help and grow from it. And so I think that's with this gift of the divine will that it's an opportunity, and we can tap, you know, knowledgeable people that are far more knowledgeable than I am right now, yourself and Deacon John Thompson and Father Iannuzzi. And what's been interesting to me as I watch this unfold is the number of people that have more or less given up their lives to spread this message. You know, yourself, Father Iannuzzi, Father Celso, Deacon John. And, you know, the 4 o'clock show, and you mentioned that you listened a while back. We have our Odd or God segment where we try to get people to call in, and you know, we say it all the time at our Calyx meeting: is that odd or is that God? And you know, is it odd or is it God? I had actually been with Deacon John, and he and his son go to a men's group on Saturday mornings, and I only got to go twice because a lot of times I'll be at our house up the mountains on the weekend. But the two times I was there, I met him, but I didn't know it was Deacon John Thompson. I just met John. And we got talking one day after the cenacle in the morning, and he mentioned that he, you know, goes up to Our Lady of Częstochowa on Saturday mornings. And it's like, wait a minute, I've been there up there a couple of times. And we laughed because it's kind of obvious when you're in his presence of who he is. But here, you know, he was wife grew up in the same town. He was a police officer, and you know, everybody knew the Thompsons. And it's really been funny. And even when I ordered I had talked to the other daughter, Donna, Maureen's sister, who put together the booklet with Deacon John.
The Blessed Mother, yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually like an introduction to the divine will. And yeah, and when Donna sent me a handful of copies because I wanted to get them for other people after I saw it, you know, she mentioned in the note about how she, you know, she knew my wife growing up, and I showed the note to my wife, and she's like, oh, that Donna, that's Donna Thompson, that's the one whose handwriting I always wanted to imitate. Or it was the other way. Yeah, that's what it was. Sue wanted to imitate Donna's handwriting, I think. And so we have this connection going back, you know, 50 years plus with the Thompsons. But it's always interesting to me how God, you know, puts all the people in the right places at just the right time. And, you know, this whole thing has kind of been a, you know, is that odd or is that God, which means, you know, it's happening for a reason. But, again, to circle back, the number of people that I'm seeing that are devoting their lives to this message is what gives me hope that, you know, I'm not there yet, but hopefully one of these days I'll be able to pass on this message. And I, like I mentioned to you this morning, especially in the world of 12-step programs, if it's said once a day, it's said millions of times a day around the world by those that pray the Serenity Prayer. They always throw this phrase on the end, "Thy will, not mine, be done." Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about, you know, God's will that we want. You know, we're saying a prayer when we say that we would, you know, prefer God's will to our own will. And yet most of those people don't know how to actually figure out what God's will is for them, and especially this gift of the divine will. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Well, we overcomplicate it, for sure, Ken. But Ken, I have to politely correct you. You said you're not there yet. See, I look at it from a different perspective. The moment your desire has gotten you to read, to join that study group in the morning with Deacon John, to invite me on, a nobody, to have Daniel O'Connor on, to speak about the divine will, you are there. You were able to see that light. And now God gives all the opportunity to you. You can either put it aside or you can continue. So you are there. Many are not. Many say no because either they've heard some erroneous things about the divine will or it's just not their time yet. How do we explain not their time? We don't. That's one of those mysteries of God, you know, with his mystical gifts. Why did he give it to us? Well, maybe we're nobodies. That could be. And you know what? It's nice to be a nobody. When you're empty, it's easy to be filled. I look at it this way. No matter who you're going to journey with, whether it be Daniel O'Connor, whether it be Francis Hogan, Father Annuzzi, Father Celso, based on our individual dispositions, we're going to have a liking to one. We're going to have a favorite. I mean, parents have favorite children. It doesn't mean you treat the other ones illy. But again, everyone's going to see, and I use the color blue, everyone's going to see the divine will in a slightly different shade, a different you. But if you go back to the old school, because I'm an old guy, when I was in school, we had transparencies. What do you do if you put all these different shades of blue on one on top of another? The blue becomes darker, more vivid, more vibrant, more alive. That's what happens. So it doesn't, again, we go back to the window. It doesn't matter if it's God's mansion, it doesn't matter how you enter. Front door, back door, side door, window, or let our Blessed Mother pull out a plank and let you crawl in. It all depends, and it all is based on our faith. I'd like to quote two things, if I may.
Sure.
We have a little pamphlet that we introduce the divine will on. And what we do is we basically just take the words of Jesus. And simply, if we believe that these are the words of Jesus, then how could we not be jumping up and down? Now, both of these quotes come from volumes that have the church's imprimatur and the Apostat. They have the total stamp of approval. The first one is from Volume 13, December 5th, 1921. Quote, this is Jesus speaking. The work is already done. There's nothing left except to make it known, so that not only you, but also others may take part in these great blessings. End quote. Who has to be it made known to? Well, first us, of course, then we can share it. Second quote I'd like to put out to you and your audience. And again, this is difficult for some religious to accept. But again, if we believe these are the words of Jesus, again, this volume 14, August 23rd, 1922, has the church's seal of approval. And Jesus says, quote, I told you many times that the mission of calling a soul to live in my divine will is the greatest one. It is the highest and most sublime call. There is no other call that can match it. End quote. If we believe that, everybody would be reading the divine will.
Amen. And I've learned so much in a short time, Peter. And I picked up a copy of the Hours of the Passion that Louisa had put together. And when it comes from Jesus' mouth, when he either talks to Louisa or in the what she sees as part of the mystical experience that she has, especially during the Hours of the Passion, it has completely changed my outlook, my view of what actually went on in those 24 hours from the time that Jesus leaves his mother to go have supper with his disciples until that final hour when he's laid in the tomb. And even the movie The Passion doesn't do it justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just in the last couple of weeks got a whole new, like I say, a whole new outlook on what Christ was actually willing to do for us. And especially since we're in the season of Lent, I highly recommend it to our listeners. It may not be the ideal thing to start out with, but in particular, the agony of the garden. I was sharing with Father McKay the other day that I think that when he was finally arrested in the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, that for him it was a relief that this was the beginning of the end of the agony that he was in, and that he spent that agony was probably more horrendous for him than the actual crucifixion. And to know what he went through, to see the sin of every person from Adam until the last person that walks on the planet, and to be willing to take on the pain and the guilt and everything else, the shame that went along with it, in order to redeem us. And like you just said, and the reason that came to mind now is because you mentioned this gift of the divine will and what's new about it. And so the idea that we have a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God the Father was the creator, Jesus Christ is the redeemer, and now we're living in the period of sanctification, I believe it, with my limited experience with the Louisa's writings, this period of sanctification. And that, like you said earlier, we don't have to wait to die in order to live it, right?
No, that's what Jesus says. Yeah. And you know, Ken, our church is perfectly poised to receive this gift. It's just the individual. For example, some of the normal rejections we'll get is, well, there's no new revelations, this cannot be true. But if we look at our catechism, I just want to cite quickly two articles in our catechism. The first one is Article 66. It states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the generations to better understand what has already been given. End quote. It's an explication. It's not something new. Father Nuzzi describes it as, let's say our Catholic faith is a flower. We've been looking at that flower for 2,000 years. We see it. We memorized it. And now the divine will comes and it's a magnifying glass. What can we see now? Wow, we can see the photosynthesis. We can see the fuzz on the petals. We can see the veins in the leaves. It was always there. We couldn't see it. The second article is Article 67. It states the role of the mystic is not to complete revelation, but to make it and allow it to be better understood in a particular period of time. End quote. That's all we need to know. The church accepts this as the growth of spirituality.
Yeah,
we have not seen anything yet. It's only the beginning.
Amen. And in these trying times, as we talked about earlier, and we talk about it on this show all the time because we're talking about what the world needs now, and this world is in a crazy spot. Even Maureen and I were talking not Maureen Lomity, but Maureen that works here. We're talking before the first show about just how upside down everything in this world is right now and how primed it is for God to do something, and he is doing it. He's doing it through the gift of the divine will. He's doing it through our Catholic Church, through our wonderful priests and religious that are doing all they can to make God's will known to as many as possible.
And we're living the diabolical disorientation that Our Lady spoke about at Fatima, but we're also living the triumph of the Immaculate Heart.
Yeah, and like we said earlier today, you know, this could be the beginning of it. We're already in the could already be getting ready to get into the thick of it, and unfortunately, things may get worse before they get better. But for those of us that believe, those of us that want to live this gift, we really should have nothing to fear.
Once you release the yo-yo, Ken, there's no way you can get it back up in your hand unless it fully deploys. We're going to hit bottom, and then the balance is going to happen. And the balance is now, so the timing of God, God knows exactly what he's doing. Why did he wait until now to give back this, to call us back to the order, the place, and the purpose? He waited till now. He didn't do it 200 years ago. He waited till now because he knew these would be the end times.
Very good. All right, our guest today is Peter DePalma from Mary's Hill in Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania. His website is queenofthedivinewill.org. He mentioned earlier that there's a number of opportunities throughout the week to tap into the resources that have made themselves available to him, Father Iannuzzi, Mother Gabriel, himself, and what have you. And one of the beautiful things is if you go to queenofthedivinewill.org, although there's a ton of material there, all these sessions are recorded, both MP3 files, so you can listen to just the audio, and those that are over Zoom, where you can actually see people, it's video included, you can download on that website as well. So, Peter, I got just about a minute left. Any final words for our listeners before I let you go?
Well, you were mentioning on the website. Let me follow up on that. The website, when you look at it, may be like the 36 volumes. It looks daunting. But what we tried to do is we tried to create as many windows as possible. So it doesn't matter where you enter or where you begin. As long as you're stimulated, that desire is increased, you're going to want to gain knowledge. And the more knowledge you gain, the more desire you're going to have. It's going to be reciprocal. And before you know it, this becomes your life. And that's what God wants. But he wants it voluntarily. He's not going to force us, like everything else he does in life. So he's calling us back. Will we respond? Or how will we respond, I think, is the best question we can ask each other.
That's right, because we're all being called. And like you said, and that's the beauty of being in ministry today, is that we know that everybody's being called. We look at the frustration and the issues that people are having, and we know that deep inside there, God's trying to get their attention, and he's allowing us little people perhaps to have an opportunity to let them know what it is and try to bring them along. Peter, I know you're a busy guy. I really appreciate you being on for the whole hour and opening this up to our listeners. And we'll have to do it again sometime, get into some other topics within the gift, and hopefully our paths will cross often in the future.
We'd love it, Ken, and thank God for your ministry as well.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk soon. For our listeners, once again, I can't thank you enough for all that you do for us here, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.